Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Good evening and welcome to episode 77 of New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Kelly Lynn. And we have another host.
And I'm Thomas.
Thomas Donnelly. And George is not with us tonight. But we do have a couple of people sitting in as well. We have Mario and we also have Rick. You probably know Mario. He's been on a couple of times and Rick was on our Maple Seed show as well. And they're on. They're going to be talking to us about things that they did recently down in Michigan. So just a word of warning, people, we're going to be talking about it a little bit about Appleseed first. So
just a little bit. Just a little bit.
A little bit, but not much. So since Rick and Mario are our guests, Mario, what did you do with guns in the last little while?
Well, not too much, actually. It was a bit of a quiet week for me. I actually got out today. I was out at EOSC. So I brought out my 223 build that I did and sighted that in at 100. I'm doing some SR clinics up in Borden in the next in April, beginning and end of April. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to that. So that service rifle is going to be quite cool. Brought the 308 out to sort of work that out and re-zero that back at 100. And for some PR clinics as well, so that's pretty good. And that was it for the week, really.
Okay. What about you, Rick?
Well, other than recovering from the 20 hours driving with Mario,
I tried to. Is that bad behind the wheel?
It's just long.
Yes.
It's just long. But other than that, it was a fairly quiet week for me. And then actually this weekend, I went to the season opener clinic for CQB at Base Borden, where they kind of run new people and rusty veterans through the course of fire and kind of get back to the mechanics of shooting CQB and the different matches that they run. So, and we had a spectacular weekend weather-wise. I mean, it was couldn't ask for more. It was just the right amount of cool and the right amount of sun. So I got a good raccoon tan going now on top of the Michigan snow burn that I picked up last weekend. So it's pretty good.
Now you met some cool people there too. I saw pictures.
Yeah. So I met Jay Hines finally, a Facebook friend, and another one of the Canadian shooters that is part of our circle. And a lot of great new guys and really cool. I'm looking forward to shooting with them this year. Really, really keen guys and all very safety conscious, which is nice. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Have you guys both signed up already for all of the matches you're going to be doing? Or
I've signed up for the ones I know I don't want to miss. I think the first one and the championship in... Can't remember, it's 7A and 7B. I'm not sure what, I can't remember what month it was, August, I believe.
I think it's August, yeah.
Yeah, it's August. And then I'll try and pick up a few more as my schedule kind of firms up during the summer and spring. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you guys want to talk about how things went down in Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So, well, Rick and Mario, we met you at Maple Seed, right?
In Minecraft. Yeah. Yep. And you were the guys that brought us there, actually.
Awesome.
I heard about that Maple Seed from New Shooter Canada, so I emailed Mario right away and said, "Hey, there's something going on that we should try out." And then when we heard the International Appleseed was in the making, we said, "Oh, we can't miss that," and so we signed up.
Yeah. So, how was it? I know how it was because I was there.
It did not. Yeah. Go ahead, Mario.
I was going to say Team Canada did pretty good there.
Yeah, we represented, man.
Man, we really rocked Canada this time around. It was great.
Yeah. We kicked butt last year, too.
We did, didn't we? So that was the first international shoot. So Mario and Rick are referring to the fact that there was four Canadians that went down. Rick, Mario, myself, and Kevin. We went down, and we all got our rifleman patch on the first day. We shot two AQTs, which are the Army qualifying test, and we all got it on the first day, so it was
excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Winter patches, no less.
Yes. The weather was...
frightful.
It was horrendous.
Yeah.
I was cold for forever.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, a word that George would have to bleep out, but... it was horrible. We were We were, it was snowing, raining, sleeting, and...
And we were on the ground for most of the day. Yeah. Wet puddles.
I'm just so glad I got it on the Saturday because I was just such a mess on Sunday. Well, like you guys know, I couldn't even shoot Sunday. I could hardly move my back. That is like, it was just a miserable.
So we did everything in the prone position. So we were laying on the ground, and we had tarps underneath of us, as well as we had the mats, shooting mats, and. There was about a foot of snow, and then there was ice and then new snow, but everything was at a temperature when everything was just melting and becoming one just big platform of ice, right?
Yeah.
So we crushed that snow to the point where it was really nice and slippery and hard, and it was
horrible. Cement.
Well, I found last year getting heavily medicated on the Sunday helped you recover from the Saturday. I was in so much pain last year on the Sunday. I'm glad I had Advil and Tylenol. Oh, man. So George shot better because he took some Tylenol. But the second day of laying prone, it gets to you.
Yeah. Oh, it really does.
Yeah. We only shot 2 AQTs on the Sunday as well.
So that's only 4 AQTs, the whole thing?
Yeah. We made it. Kevin made it 4 times. Mario, you made it how many times? 2?
Once. The first time... I actually ran out of time on the set on stage 2s, and I'd like to say I probably would have gotten it because I just missed the second half of the target completely.
Okay.
And I shot a 197. So,
you would have made it.
You know, I probably would have gotten it, but I got it the second time around with a 219. So
right.
I was really happy.
And then there's Rick, who just.
And then there's Rick.
Between him and Kevin and Brian. And Bill, actually, you guys were scoring in the mid to high 230s. So, and the test or the Army qualifying test is 250. That's the cap. So you were doing so well, Rick.
It's that Appleseed training, you know. You stick with the fundamentals, and and you get once you kind of focus in and zone in, then you know.
And I also think that because of the fact that there was such a high caliber of people on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough to be parked beside Brian Sheets, and he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Great guy to be partnered with. I think I couldn't have had a better sidekick. We were just egging each other on and trash talking. So, and you were on the other side of Brian, right?
Yeah, and he's a lefty. So, at Mapleseed, George and I were almost literally on top of each other, right? And this time Brian and I were on top of each other, but it was fun. And everybody was so relaxed and everybody was on their game. So everybody was just stepping up and doing well.
I didn't want to miss because I would never hear the end of it from Brian. So
yeah,
it was good. It was all good natured ribbing and kidding. And it was good.
So there was 12 people on the line. And in the first day, there were 6 people that got their patch, which was pretty unheard of, I guess. Yeah, and then the next day there was somebody else. So Dave, he got his rifleman as well. And this is his 7th, he said it was his 7th rifleman. Okay. Or sorry, Appleseed that he's gone to. So he said, this is something that he's been working so hard for. So,
he's a dedicated shooter.
He must have come close so many times, just frustratingly just out of his reach, I guess.
He was able to clear. So the first target that we do is the red coat, and we do a 100, 200, 300, and 400 meter, then the shingle, which is just a 1-inch by 1-inch square. He was able to clear it every time, or almost every time. So he was just, I think maybe it might have been nerves or something, but he was able to do it. So that was awesome for him. I was very happy for him.
And that time factor really plays on your mind sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about that, then, you know, you can easily just one jam or one misfeed and you're
right. And that's what was happening with my rifle. I didn't clean it before I went down, and I should have. It'd been actually a while since I had cleaned it. Because when my rifle, it's a clamshell almost. Okay. So I have to take the optics off, I have to take the rail off, and then I have to take, it's a clamshell that goes around the upper receiver, and I have to take that off, and then I can actually access access it. So I didn't want to actually clean it. I just ran a boar snake through it every once in a while, right? But I should have done that, because every single AQT I did, when I got to the standing, it either was misfeeding or it was double loading, and so I'd have to drop my mag. And I actually got my rifleman on two of them when there was misfeeds. I dropped my mag, got down, loaded my mag again, loaded the rounds I was missing or I had to eject out of it, and stood back up, and I got them. And it's because of the fact that I actually finished the shoot, or finished the recoursive fire. So anyways, that being said, okay.
Now, I got a question. Mike shot it with a bolt action, did he not?
Mike
from Reloading Protest? And he came pretty close. That was his first Appleseed. He came pretty close using bolt action his first time.
He did. And it was, I think he, 179, or I think that was his high score of 179, which is awesome with a bolt action.
Especially now, his first shoot.
Exactly. And Eli and...
Elijah.
Yeah, they did so amazing. Their rifles were brand new out of the box, sights not on them or anything like that. The sights were put on the night before, and they weren't sighted in or anything like that. So it took them a little bit in the morning on the first day to get it sighted in. But by the end of it, I think it might have been Eli, I think, that got a 192.
Yeah, it was him. Yeah, because I asked Stacey how the kid shot.
Yep.
And that's with open sights, too.
They were scoped.
Were they scoped? Okay.
Yeah. So they were scoped, but they had a great time. Mario and Rick, do you want to talk a little bit about Friday, what we did on Friday?
I think I shot every gun in America that day.
Oh, okay.
It was a great day, and that was a super sunny day.
It was beautiful.
And I think everyone brought at least 6 to 10 different firearms with them.
Yeah.
I was trying every single stack subcompact that I'd ever wanted to try out. I think Stacy had a bunch, and Brian Sheets brought a bunch.
Yes.
Ranch brought a whole whack of them as well. So.
Yeah, everybody was bringing stuff for us. I brought my 10/22. But everybody brought theirs.
It's great.
Mario, the boys.
I brought 6 pistols with me. Mm-hmm. A couple of 357s, 45 auto, 45 Colt, my 2.9 mils, and I got Eli and Elijah shooting them all, and they were just loving it. They were having such a great time.
Yeah.
And
Bill Wilson brought his suppressed SCAR, I believe.
His suppressed SCAR, yeah.
Heavy, and then Tim Blake brought his my dream.
With the bar.
The bar. The 30-06. I think it's a machine. It is. It's a 20 pound rifle. And I think one of the times he shot it standing up like a He-Man.
Yeah, Tim did.
It was awesome. Yeah. So that was a great day. I mean, it was awesome to be able to try out so many different handguns that we can't even think of buying up here.
Yeah.
Those little pocket 380s that they have, they were just so incredible.
Yeah, and the single stack nines and.
Yeah.
And then Brian also had his carry, I think it was a Glock with the red dot on it.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
awesome. Oh, yeah.
Setup as well.
Yeah.
What was that 9mm that they had out there? Not a Kel-Tec.
The Tech 9.
The Tech 9.
Tech 9.
That's a cool little firearm as well.
Yeah, that was cool. That was fun.
Yeah, we had suppressed 223s as well. Was that Bill's as well?
No, that was Brian's.
Who had the suppressed?
That was Brian's, and Red actually brought his golf ball launcher as well.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that was really neat. That thing went like hundreds of yards.
Awesome. You were shooting steel from 100 yards, weren't you? Was it Brian shooting steel?
With a red dot.
Yep.
He was just blinking away. He was hitting it, I think 90% of the time from 100 yards.
Yeah.
Actually, that wasn't steel. It was a rubber, the orange target.
Yep.
Yeah, so, that's it was actually some sort of rubber that the bullets go through and then it reseals after.
It's a sealing one. Self-sealing.
Yeah,
he was dead nuts accurate with that thing.
Yeah.
It's all in the gun, right, Brian? He's gonna kill me.
So we had a really great time with everybody, and we wanted to say thank you to Stacy for.
I mean, the best part of that weekend was meeting all those great people down there. I think that's really what made the event so much fun for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great to refine your skills, but to be doing that with the great bunch of guys that showed up that day was extra special. From Eli and Elijah all the way up to Grey Wolf and his team that kind of led us through the course of fire and. Mm-hmm. Telling us to focus on our our follow through and NPOI. So it's great.
Grey Wolf and Click and Three Dogs, very passionate and about Appleseed. Obviously, they showed us one great exercise with NPOI and putting a card in front of our optic.
That was really interesting.
Yeah. Do you want to explain it a little bit, Mario?
Yes. What happens is that as you're in the prone position, you get into your position, you get into your natural point of aim, or what you think is your natural point of aim. And then a partner will take a playing card or some sort of card, and they sort of block the front of your scope sight, or at least your view of the target. And then after a couple of seconds, I guess, 10, 15, 20 seconds, I can't remember the amount of time, you sort of pull the card away and you see where you're sighting, and then you adjust, so you're really able to focus on your natural, on your NPOA, your natural point of aim.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really cool exercise. That was very, very interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I liked it. We did it last time too, but this time it really had almost more of an impact this time. Yeah.
But we didn't do it at Mapleseed, though.
No, we didn't. It's not something they always do, so.
Yeah, that's because I didn't see that when we did Mapleseed last year, so I was kind of, I didn't know it. That's why it was really cool.
Yeah. Shall we go on to Thomas and see what he did in guns this week?
Okay.
All right.
Well, my Grandpower K22 Extrem finally arrived in the mail on Wednesday. So I took it out to the range today.
Yay.
It shot flawlessly. The only problem I had, ammo issues were the Aguila High Standard. I put 3 or 4 magazines, no problem, and then one mag every other round would not fire. So it was the ammunition. But I even had some of the Winchester target match, and I figured it would low velocity. I had Remington subsonics, and I thought for sure they wouldn't cycle. They cycled no problem.
Wow.
Even the cheap white box 525 Winchester box stuff, cycled no problem. But the best accuracy I got was out of the Aguila high speed stuff.
Yeah.
Is that a 40 grain that you're using in there?
It was a 40 grain plated. So I had 5 or 6 different types, and because the first one we tested, we had a lot of problems with standard or low velocity ammunition. It only shot the high velocity. But this one actually is cycling everything. And
standard velocity.
Even the standard velocity, even the target loads, yes. I was quite surprised. And Kelly's right about the flip velocity in this thing. Because yep. I'm so used to having like my compensated 45 with the red dot and my Browning and my Smith & Wesson have a big bull barrel. So when you fire it, you hardly have any muzzle rise at all. Well, this thing, it's a light 20, I think the gun was 26 grams, whatever. But it's a steel slide, even though it's lightened. So when you cycle it, when you fire it, the slide comes sliding back and the gun does flip up. And you don't expect that in a 22. So every time you do a shot, you have to really reacquire your sight picture because you're getting that muzzle rise. So I think Flip Rossi describes it well. But once I got used to it, it was okay.
You got to put a compensator on that thing.
It's threaded.
No,
it's threaded, and I got a comp ordered.
Oh, no.
Tandem Cross sells an aluminum one because I don't want to put too much weight on the front of the barrel because it's not a bull barrel. So I figured the aluminum one work well, and it's only ported at the top and the side, so you don't get any bottom gases going down, so it should keep the muzzle from going up. And I fixed the USCON 41. I remember I was telling you last week that the follower actually got stuck in the tube. So I ended up getting the tube off. I had to put the gun in my cleaning vise, and I took all my strength, and I finally got it off, and I pulled the tube out. Normally when you do that, as soon as you pull the tube out, the flower and the spring will fly across the room. Well, it didn't. It just stuck in there. So I took a cleaning rod, shoved it in there, knocked it out, and then it went flying across the room and just about killed the cat. So it took about 10 minutes on my hands and knees to find the little follower. But what it was is there was an actual seam around the outside of the follower. So whoever assembled it should have known there was a problem, because as soon as you stick the follower in, it just sticks. So I just took my pocket knife and I cut off the seam and I put a little emery cloth and I smoothed it out, and now it's no problem. But I am going to order, but it's really flimsy. It's real thin plastic. So I'm going to order one of those no-jam followers. I've got actually S&J Hardware has them in stock, so I'm going to order a couple of those. But besides that, I like the gun. It's a real thumper, but 12-gauge, so it's convenient, my new backpack gun. But I'm happy with it now. You know, things happen. It's just a defective follower, but once I fixed it, it was no problem. What about you, Kelly? What you doing guns this week?
Well, we already talked about Winterseed. Well, it was a Winterseed patch that we got, not just an apple seed. But today, I went to the range. We went to Brockville this time. Remember I was telling you about that guy from Alberta, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he and his girlfriend are trying to join the Brockville Range, so they asked us to go and meet them there, because they have to come on Sundays and do some shooting and just meet the other people, because Sundays is the open range day. People can drop in and basically, you know, meet everybody and that as well. So Chris has been trying to join the club, and he's been asked to come to a couple of Sunday shoots. So we're sponsoring him. So we went down and met him, and this is the first time his girlfriend Ashley came with him as well. Ashley's a shooter as well, so it was awesome.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I brought my BR-99 with me, and yesterday when we went to SFRC, because it's Saturday, you know, and that's what we do. On Saturday, we go to SFRC. Anyways, I was looking around for some shotgun shells, because it's still not cycling well. So
the 3-inch?
Well, I bought 3-inch Magnums. And they are cycling well through it. And I said to Kevin first, I said, you try it first. He tried it, and he goes, yeah, it's got a little bit of kick to it this time. And I tried a couple of
Oh, they're brutal.
A couple of shells in, and I'm going, it's not that bad, actually. It was less than I thought it'd be. So probably put through 15 rounds, and then I tried the target load, the 2 3/4 target load again. It was better, but it still wasn't cycling through and ejecting them cleanly. So we tried some other stuff. Now Chris had brought some 2 3/4 game load, and they were cycling through it fine. So it's just starting to get worked in that, and it was quite the showpiece there, I guess.
So the game loads actually have a higher brass than the target loads? Okay.
Yeah. And so we had some people that walked by, and anybody who wanted to walk by said, hey, do you want to try it out? And they're going, okay. And that. So they tried it. We went into the pistol house as well, and I was able to sight in my rifle, but I've never seen that many people there on a Sunday. There must have been, no word of a lie, maybe about 25, 30 people there today.
Oh, first nice day.
Yeah, so there was a ton of people in the pistol house. There was a ton of people on the 50 and the 100. And that, we stayed around. We stayed for about 3 or 4 hours. So by the time that we were done, we were one of the last ones there. But in the pistol house, I got to shoot a couple of different things. There was somebody that was waiting to actually set up a target, and they had a ranch hand. Anyways, this little shorty, right? And he said, do you want, because I had said, do you want to try my my 10/22? His wife was with him, and she'd never shot a 10/22 rifle, and they thought it looked like almost like an AR. They were kind of, she was a little scared of it, and I said, no, it's just a Ruger 10/22. I said, it just looks cool. So she tried it out, and I showed her actually some different things to you. Okay, I apple-seeded her. Anyways, so I showed her some things with it, and she thought it was actually pretty cool. And her husband tried it as well, and he goes, it's not my thing, but, you know, he thought it was pretty cool. And then they gave me a ranch hand to try, and as I said, it's just a...
What caliber?
I think it was 308. I don't know. What was it?
They come in 357 and 44.
.357, that's what I was using. Anyways, it was cool. It's so foreign to me because of the fact that, you know, you don't put it on a shoulder, you don't rest it against, you don't get a cheek weld, you don't all of this stuff. You just hold it in front of you and you just aim it and shoot. And it had no kick whatsoever, so I thought it was really cool. So, yeah. And Chris, he brought all of his guns and he was trying them out and all that. And he asked me if I wanted to try this 1911. And so I said, okay. So I did. And the reason why I wanted to try it out was because it was a 45 caliber, right? So Rick taught me something at Appleseed. Do you remember, Rick? Or on the Friday?
I do, and you got endless ribbing for it. So I don't know if I want to admit that I taught you that.
Well, he said, like, I
taught you something different. You modified it to suit your needs.
So, and what it is pliers ketchup. That's what I say to myself, is pliers ketchup. Because my hand, Rick and I have the exact same size hands, and the grips on his pistols fit me perfectly. Don't they, Rick?
They do. So you have manly hands, then. I don't have girly hands. Right? So,
sure.
I will admit, I have small hands. I have small hands.
For for a man, but I have large hands for a female.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So what I said was, on the strong hand, you grip the handle like you would a pair of pliers. So you're squeezing front and back. Right? It's the front strap and the back strap. And then with the support hand, I said tennis ball.
I heard ketchup bottle.
Well, you evolved it to mustard ketchup after. But then the weak hand is gripping it like you would a tennis ball, squeezing side to side, left and right. And and that seemed to work for you. So.
Yeah.
Which is great.
The push-pull for me doesn't work. But if you're saying pliers ketchup, it works. Anyways, so
Is this on the ranch hand you're talking about?
No, this is on the Norinco 1911, the 45 caliber.
Oh, cocking the slide.
No, not cocking the slide, actually.
The grip.
Firing the pistol and the grip, and so there's no limp wristing or anything like that. So works great.
Yeah.
So anybody out there? Fires and ketchup.
Any malfunctions?
Nope, no malfunctions whatsoever. Went through well. And I actually liked the higher caliber, the power of it, you know. So
hold
yeah,
on, you wouldn't shoot my 1911 when we were
shot a 1911. And I liked it.
We were at George's place. I went to put a Kimber Gold match in her hand, and she sort of reeled back from it and said, oh, no, it's a 1911. I don't want to touch it. And now she likes a Norinco? My God.
You'd love that. You'd love that gold match.
Oh, the Kimber's just so nice. Yeah. It's like butter in your hands.
Because the better it is, the more of a push you get than a snap, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So you'd love that now, Kelly.
Well, his had a nice little weight on the trigger as well. So it was, you know, it was probably about, I don't know, maybe a 5-pound trigger. Maybe. And not so. And yeah, it shot. It was nice. Anyways.
I got the same reaction from my wife. Remember a couple of weeks ago I told you that she shot the 45, my SAM 1911.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I was really shocked at how much she really liked it. She goes, you know, that's my favorite gun. I'm like, oh man, this is bad. So.
Yeah, well, it's not my favorite gun. I actually liked Rick's SIG there. I like that.
Yeah,
226,
yeah. Nice. Yeah, Elite, right?
Yeah, the Enhanced Elite. Yeah, it's got a skinnier grip.
Yeah.
Yep. And a short reset trigger on that.
Yeah, it's a nice gun.
Or a short reach trigger. It's got both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. And anybody else got anything else that they did in guns this week?
No.
Okay. Why don't we actually cover what's in the news? Last Thursday, or the Thursday that just went by, I thought I added this to the show notes. So
let's do story two first, because it's really, really quick. Because then I have to go into what's up in the news.
Okay.
The story two is really, really quick. It's extremely unusual in Canada to see any political party holding a gun draw as a fundraiser, but the Yellow Rose Party out in Alberta, or is having a custom draw for an EM Precision custom-made 338 Lapua valued at $5,420 as a fundraiser. So we'll put the links in the page. We try to remain non-political, so we'll just put the picture of the gun and the links in there so you can go and see if you want to register for the gun. Now we go to story one.
Okay. Do you want to tell them how much the tickets are, though?
Tickets are 1 for $20 and 10 for $2 for $100.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just so, I just thought it was weird that a political party was doing fundraising with a gun. So.
Yep.
It's good to see, but.
Okay, so story number two now actually is there was recently, which was Thursday, a shooting that was in the Belleville High School. And what they actually, so I'll read it and then we can talk about it a little bit. It said, shooting in Belleville, Ontario school was distraction for bank robbery, says the police. Police say they believe a shooting incident at a high school was a distraction for a bank robbery a few minutes later. Inspector Mike Callahan says the shooting Thursday at the Quinty Secondary School wasn't targeted and no one was injured. A man escaped from the bank with an unspecified amount of money after producing a firearm. The suspect is still at large. While it's unclear whether more than one person was involved in the incidents, police say the man fired the gun at the school and held up the bank. Counselors were at the school on Friday to help students and staff cope with the incident. So, what it is, yeah, so this guy went into the school and basically fired off a shot. When thankfully nobody was injured or anything, but it shut down the school, so the school went on to lockdown. And he left the school, obviously, and about 15 minutes later, he robbed a RBC bank. So they're thinking that he used it as distraction, basically, for the cops to get them to go to the school, lock down the school, look for, you know, an active shooter in the school when he was robbing a bank.
Well planned. Distract the cops to one part of the city while you do a robbery in the other part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking this is the same guy?
Yeah. So, yeah, and the reason is because they have pictures.
Ah.
Oh.
Good thing no one was hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Eh? So, I haven't heard about somebody doing something like this. It's to the point where it's...
I've heard of distractions made before for to call the police to one area while you commit a crime in another area, but I've never heard of them doing it to a school. But that's one place that definitely gets shut down and get the police there quickly.
Yeah, they call everybody out, right? Yep.
Yeah, because of some of the tragedies we've had in the States or even in Canada lately.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've heard of them calling in like bomb threats or whatever at a school and the shutting down the school, but not going into a school, firing off a shot and then leaving. So anyways, I just thought it was one interesting and two, but I'm just going, oh my goodness, but thank God nobody was hurt. So yeah,
I didn't realize you changed story when it was a different story last time I looked at the show notes.
I went with this one. I thought it was probably more pertinent than the two guys that were,
well, especially this one is close to home too for you.
It's just down the road. So, what's new in the industry, Thomas?
Well, there was a really interesting gun that came out. I was quite surprised. Actually, Firearms Outlet has this in stock, and they're advertising on their webpage. There's a new thing called a DP12. So, it's a double-barrel pump-action shotgun that is non-restricted, and it's now in Canada. It's manufactured by Home Standard Manufacturing. It's a pump-action chambered for 2 3/4 or 3-inch. With two side-by-side 18 and 7/8 barrel. pretty cool, eh?
That's awesome.
It looks cool. It looks like almost like a bullpup design. The magazine holds 14 rounds plus two in the chamber, so for 16 rounds of firepower, with inline feeding for both barrels at the same time. So every time you pump it, it feeds two rounds. Each time you pull the trigger, it fires two rounds. They don't fire at the same time. It's got a resettable trigger. So two shots for each pump. I don't know if it'd be approved for IPSC, but it sure looks like it'd be a lot of fun. It's pricey.
Do you
it's
think?
Going. I don't know. If guys will game it, they'll definitely be getting this thing with 16 rounds. I wonder how long it takes to load it, though. That would be the question there.
You just imagine load and make ready. The guy's going to be there forever.
Hang on. Give me 10 minutes. it's pricey
rounds.
Up here,
Holy
though.
Crap.
It's $2,200.
Ooh, that is pricey.
So one of you guys buy it and I'll try it out. How's that?
Yeah, you'll test fire. give you the 3-inch magnums. I put a link to the video they have on the show notes. We'll put it up there, and it's quite impressive. And it's not a lightweight too. It's 9 pounds 12 ounces. That's machined from aircraft grade aluminum, The receiver's got some type of thermal coating to protect it from heat. Now it's ambi safety, ambi pump release. So if you're a southpaw, it works out fine. It has two Picatinny rails for accessories, a 7-slot rail on the bottom and by the foregrip, and then a 3.75 34-slot rail on top. And it's got a cold molded soft rubber grip is what it says. It also has slots for mole rails. It's got a loaded window indicator. It's got shock absorbers built into the recoil mechanism, synthetic stocks. The rubber recoil actually has dual spring into the recoil pad, and both barrels are spreader chokes with true choke patterns, it says. It comes with the two branch composite fore end, front sling attachment, and a sling swivel stock attachment. And apparently it's ergonomically designed to balance. So I haven't seen one on the range yet, but it looks interesting.
It's going to be John Wick's next shotgun.
Oh, man. It looks cool. Yeah. It looks cool.
Can you fire both barrels at the same time?
No.
No? Okay.
It'll do left-right, then you pump, and then left-right. It's got a single select, a resettable trigger like a side-by-side or a double barrel.
So every time you pull the trigger the first time and you let it reset, it'll automatically flip over to the second
It automatically resets to the second barrel, just like a side-by-side.
And then once you pump... Then you're loading both.
It loads both in line, and then you've got these two shots again.
Bang, bang.
I'd hate to have both barrels go off at the same time. That would kick.
That would be so fun.
Mind you, it's pretty heavy, so I don't know how hard it would feel. It might feel lighter than your BR-99, Kelly, based on the weight difference.
Yeah, probably.
All the shock-absorbing thing they built into it.
Yeah, it has a lot more shock-absorber than my BR-99, I can tell you that.
You're the shock absorber for your BR-99, I guess.
Yes, I am. No. That's the one complaint everybody said. They said, there's no butt pad on this. And I'm going, it is what it is.
Yeah, there is no butt pad on it.
No, there's
The guys trying it out, give them the Magnum loads to break it in for you.
Oh, I gave everybody Magnum loads.
You're so nice.
I know.
That's awesome.
Well, gave them a choice.
That's it. There you go. You want a real He-Man load, or you want a...
And they're going, oh, anyways. That's cool. Yeah. So, yeah. I think that somebody should buy that, and we should test it out. Who's bringing it in? Who's going to be... Oh, it's Firearms Outlet. So...
Yeah, they've got them in stock.
It's too bad I was there on Friday. Had I known, I would have asked to see that alien shotgun. That would have been cool.
It looks like something out of Terminator, doesn't it?
Yeah, or Predator, or one of those alien movies, you know?
Well, that's why I got this, is because they had it actually advertised on their webpage. So then I went in and did a little research on it, and I found the video and everything. Yeah. So they have it in stock. It looks cool.
It looks cool, but where the hell is all the... It's got... You can put 14 rounds in two chambers, so it's 7 rounds in each chamber, right?
Yeah, so the whole back end is probably magazine tubes.
Yeah, that's so... Anyways. We'll have to... Yeah, we'll have to see if we can actually ensure that gets put in as the picture for the episode, because it's really cool looking.
Well, that butt stock looks really interesting on it too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to check out the video. There's a video link in there. It's really cool.
I'll check it out after. Kind of looks very scar-like from the back end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Okay, so one of the reasons that we had both of you guys on, because when we were on the Appleseed line, every single person there had a 22, right?
And everybody center fires had, this time?
No center fires. Everybody had 22s. There was a couple of Marlins and that, and some people had some really cool ones, but we were going to talk about Ruger 10-22s, because Mario has one that I covet. But I did want to ask Rick about his first. Our main subject tonight is actually Ruger 10-22, is what you can do with them and all that. But I did want to ask Rick if he wants to describe his 22, because it's beautiful, it's amazing, accurate.
Yeah, I love that thing. It's actually it's a stock custom 10-22 by D-Lask Arms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so okay.
It's their DAR, their DAR 22.
Oh, I've seen it. They're beautiful.
Yeah, it's a machine. They machine the receivers themselves. I don't know if it's their barrels, but I know they finish the barrels. They might buy from Green Mountain or somebody. And they have a number of options, whether you want a target chamber or a sporter chamber. I went with sporter chamber. And the difference is you're able to load a wider variety of ammo. I think the sporter chamber lets you load CCIs, whereas the target chamber is a little bit more restrictive.
Yeah, I can't load CCI in mine.
There you go. And then it's in a Hogue overmolded stock, which I love. That thing is so grippy. The only thing I did to it was I put a TacPro cheek riser, adjustable cheek riser, because when I'm shooting from standing, I need to raise the cheek, and then when I'm prone, I did drop it by a quarter of an inch, just because of the different geometry.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, that thing was great. I tried a bunch of ammo with it, and it shoots fairly well with most things I put in. The only difference really is reliability. So the bulk pack stuff, I'll get some duds every now and again, and I've got some hard ejections out of that. But otherwise, it's a phenomenal, very accurate 10/22.
No, the last, so it's Canadian.
They're out in BC. Yes. They make a whole. BC, yeah. They make several different. They make a complete rifle, or you can buy the last machine receiver, and you can get all kinds of different receivers with internal mounts built into it. They make barrels. Yeah. They make auto bolt releases. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the only stock thing in there is the Ruger trigger pack, but they do a $50 or $75 trigger job on it, and it breaks at about 2.5 pounds. So
beautiful.
I see no reasons to swap it out. It works fine for me.
Yeah, it's quite accurate. I shop beside them, so yeah.
And you can customize. They've got so many different barrel lengths as well and different stock options. So,
do you mind if we ask you what you paid for it?
I think it was around $600, if I remember correctly. I can't remember exactly. It's around there.
It
wasn't at the $1,000 level. I don't remember. It was reasonable for what else. I couldn't build it for less, which is my main criteria.
Now, the receiver, it has the integral rail built on top?
Yeah, it's $659.99 on their website right now.
Okay.
So it's got a built-in pick rail, and it's got a threaded barrel, and you can choose from a 12.5-inch barrel or 16-inch. I went with a 16-inch.
Now, by threaded, do you mean it's threaded at the chamber, or it's threaded at the muzzle?
At the muzzle.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's got a thread protector on the end, so you can put a compensator or a silencer or a suppressor if you're in the States.
Cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But the one I wanted was Brian's next to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He had a Magnum Research with a graphite barrel. That thing was it was beautiful.
It was so light.
I felt like a rose between three thorns, you know that? No, that's not the way I meant that. I felt like a
you were, because you were. You meant exactly what you said.
No, I felt like, yeah.
Inadequate.
Yes, so inadequate.
Well, we as men, we're overcompensating for our deficiencies with equipment, whereas you just hunkered down and shot it with your 10/22, so... So you should feel more proud because you got it with yours.
Well, that Magnum Research, that's more than $1,000 US. They're expensive rifles.
They're expensive, but it's
very pretty.
Yeah, and actually the last Maple Seed, I got my patch with a stock Marlin 795.
Really?
The only reason I changed was because of the mag configuration, where the 10 round mag sticks out, and because I've got short little T-Rex arms, it's in my way when I'm holding stock. So and occasionally I'd get a jam and it was just one more thing to fight. So I as much as I like the 795, because the 795s are actually more accurate than the stock 10/22s.
Yeah, so I've noticed.
And so I just finally went, and if I was going to go 10/22, I was either going to go for the target model or just for a little bit more get a custom DAR 22, and with that recessed magwell and mags. It was perfect.
The only problem with the 795 is that it's a pain getting the mags out. They're not drop free, and then you have
they're
to
not drop free. It's a two
pull
hand
a tab
job.
And pull a mag out.
Yeah, and that stock is hollow and tinny, but mm-hmm. you know, for $170, you really can't complain. I think it's the cheapest, most accurate you can get. More bang for the buck you can get out there.
I used to have one, but I sold it to George.
There you go.
Yeah. So, Mario.
Yes.
Okay. Seriously.
His best radio voice. Yes.
So on the Friday,
yes.
I went over and I said, whose rifle is this? I did. Because
did
it,
you
it's,
yell it?
No. No, because I was coveting his rifle. And it's beautiful. And Mario did let me try it on the Friday. And he was actually going to let me shoot an AQT with it as well. Long story short, we were tired and we were all getting packed up. And I said, no, you know, I shot it on the Friday and I really loved it. His so do you want to tell us about your 1022?
Yeah, it's a 1022 receiver. It has a whistle pig bull barrel fluted and ported at the end barrel. And it's aluminum with a core. And it doesn't move at all. And it's all sitting in a Boyd's custom stock with a thumb hole grip. And it's such a pleasure to shoot. It was, and like we said, in the last time we did the Maple Seed, I was shooting my Savage 64, my Savage 64. That in the heat it completely fell apart. It was just so hot. This one here is just, well, you shot it. It's like butter.
It is.
It's so nice to shoot.
And so when I was actually shooting it on the Friday, I did not loop up the sling. Excuse me. I did not loop up the sling. But I was shooting in the prone position, and I was able to basically have my shot. I think it was 5 rounds, and then I shot another 5 rounds, and all 5 rounds went in the same hole. So it is dead on accurate.
I think the model, it's an older model that they don't make anymore, but if you ever go to the Boyd's hardwood gunstock site, it's similar to the Rimfire thumb hole model.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it looks like, and it's in a sort of an olive green coloring.
Mm-hmm. Now, what optic do you have on it? Because that was, it's stainless as well.
I have an A1 optics 2-7 or 2-9.
I think it's
2-9. It came with it. I bought it used.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, actually,
you
Rick,
built it.
Rick found it. As he finds everything.
I'm always looking out for Mario's next gun.
He's always, yeah, he always has my back, so that's good.
I'm living vicariously through Mario.
Oh, please. So he goes, this is it. I went, oh yeah, this is it for sure. So I actually got lucky and I actually picked it up. It's just, that was really one of the best purchases I've made.
It is truly a beautiful rifle. Can I do just a hint of a squirrel moment?
Mm-hmm.
So when we were down in Michigan, we went to a gun shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, who was picking up the 1911 mags?
Both of us were, actually.
Okay.
Did you find the Wilsons?
Yep, I did. And they were like $30 each.
Oh, cool.
Which is a great price. It's Freedom Firearms.
That's it, Freedom Firearms.
Freedom Firearms.
Okay.
I actually wanted a 10-rounder, so I bought an 8 and swapped Rick for the 10, which was a great deal.
Mm, there you go. That was my squirrel moment. We had to give a plug to Freedom Firearms.
So I just got a quick question from Mario. So your barrel itself is actually a steel liner, but it's clad in aluminum?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's bull, and it's fluted, and it's ported at the end. It's got a little slot.
So are the ports all the way around or just at the top?
No, they are just on the top, if I'm not mistaken. They look like really thin slices at about 45 degrees from the front to the back, and there's 3 of them. And they come, obviously, just part of the way through the barrel, but they really work really, really nice. The company's called Whistle Pig. They're called Aculite. Aculite barrels.
So I have to ask, has any of you two actually drilled a cleaning hole through the back of your 1022 receiver?
No. Mine came with one.
Haha. The
and
last
it's
two.
Awesome. And
it
it's
makes
awesome.
It so much easier, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, sirree. Yeah.
I had
yours
to ask.
Came from the factory like that, though. Right?
Yep, mine did. And I don't even bother plugging it up. I just leave that hole there.
Well, there's no point in plugging it up because it doesn't do anything, doesn't get in the way. Now, do you have the standard steel bolt stop, or have you put polymer bolt stops in?
It came with a polymer.
Okay, good.
I'm not sure what mine comes with. I actually haven't even taken it apart yet.
If you hear a click every time you fire it, you've got the factory. If you just hear nothing, then you've got the polymer. Because you don't hear the bolt slamming back hitting the pin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have the polymer in my case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. I have one as well.
Yeah.
So what about you, Kelly? What modifications have you made to your 1022?
Well, so the extended mag release, Volkswagen hammer trigger, ATI stock, which is getting replaced, and so extended the rail on top, and we just, it has a 1:7. I don't know which one it is. It's a Vortex scope, but don't know which one it is. So it was, I'll be honest, it was Kevin's. and I basically took it over.
So you didn't get the girlfriend discount, you actually stole it.
Basically.
Yeah, okay.
So when we went to Appleseed last year, I had the Rock Island, I had this little, it basically melted it melted in the sun. So this was his backup gun, and I used it on day two on the Sunday, and it functioned very, very well for me. So I was happy with it, and it ended up being mine. So it's the ATI stock. It's got the collapsible. It's got the collapsible stock, and as I said, it's almost like the clamshell, so it goes over the receiver. So that's the problem with it for cleaning, but I still like it.
It looks really cool. It looks like it's got a little suppressor thing in the front.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. So again, we had a shroud that we just put over the barrel.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
Is it plastic or is it aluminum?
The shroud?
Yeah.
It's plastic.
Okay.
It's green plastic. So again, like today, we're in the pistol house today, and Chris walks by and he goes, "Are we allowed to actually fire AR-15s inside?" And we're going, "It's a 1022." So, and then, and then there's other people who are, Anyways, so everybody thinks it's something that it's not, and that it's.
That's a troublemaker.
Yeah, so hence I feel like a thorn between
two roses.
Three roses there. So it's pretty accurate and it's pretty light and I like it, but again, I am going to have to switch out the stock. So what I'm going to go and do is I think I'm going to try out a Magpul.
Cool.
Magpul stock or maybe even looking at Boyd's as well. So. Yeah.
Well, I like the Magpul because the adjustability, and you can get different cheek risers for it. I saw it for $199 online yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of our friends, the place that I like to go to, we were talking to him yesterday about it.
Oh, Canadian Tire?
Yep.
Okay.
So they're going to be getting them in soon, so I'll try it out there. So, yeah. So what about you, Thomas?
My 1022, I've got a Shooter's Ridge fluted bull barrel on it. It's still the factory receiver. I got rid of the factory stock because it was way too small. I'm trying to remember who makes the extended charge handle. I've got an extended charge handle. Actually, I think it's Delask. It's Delask extended charge handle. Mm-hmm. I put in the polymer bolt stop. I drilled a hole in the back of the receiver for cleaning. The best modification anybody can get for a 1022 is popping in an auto bolt release. It makes it so much easier instead of having to sit there and pull the charging handle back and manipulate the little tiny pivot point at the bottom.
Yeah.
I have, I was going to get the Volks Quartz and hammer and sear kit, and a friend of mine had just got the hammer, didn't get the whole kit. So I just ordered the hammer, no sear. I got a crisp 2.5 pound trigger, so I don't need the sear. It works fine just with the hammer alone. I've got a Blackhawk Axum stock. I hate it. It's way too small. It's made for little people. It's not good for tall people. I can get the length that I want for the length of pull, but the pistol grip is so small, it just my hand just swallows it up and I can't get a proper trigger press. So when we did the first Appleseed, I had Sam I Am give me some of the sponge that we're putting on, and we doubled the width of my grip, and then I was able to finally shoot my AQT once I get a proper hold on the pistol grip. And I got a cheater scope on it. I got a Bosch Alom Elite 4000 6x24 scope on it.
Wow.
Yeah, because I usually shoot that thing at 100 yards, not 25 yards.
Yeah, it's like you're almost right there beside the paper.
Oh, yeah. So when we were doing the Appleseed last year, Stacy's constantly walking by me because you have to put your scope on the lowest setting. Of course, my lowest setting is 6. So every time she went by, she's looking down to make sure I didn't crank it up to 24. Because at 24, the target's right in front of your face. So.
Yeah, but you're also any little movement or flicker or whatever.
Oh, it's all transmitted right to you. You see everything.
Yeah.
But I put that scope on it because my friend John and I, we set up the spinners at 100 yards in the bunker at my range. And the spinners are like one inch and a half. And with that scope, you can hit those little spinners all day long. So I would like to get the last receiver. And I'd like to get a scope with an adjustable coom. I'm either looking at the Magpul or something else. But I definitely need a new scope because I think George was using my 22 at the Maple Seed, and the sling swivel on the rear actually stripped right out, so I can't even use a sling on the thing anymore, so I definitely need a new stock.
No, that's too bad.
But I bought the pistol instead of buying the stock, so.
Okay. Any other modifications that you guys can think of that would make a 10-22?
Yeah, actually, I remember now. I actually modded my bolt release to be auto bolt release. I just took a Dremel to it. And there's so many YouTube videos on it. It's like a 5-minute mod. You just reprofile the bolt hole, I guess.
Yeah.
And then when you pull back on it, it just releases automatically. That's probably the next to the cleaning hole in the back. That's probably the best thing to do because that just simplifies your life so much.
Oh, it does. And even otherwise, buying the aftermarket job. One's only $10 yeah. anyways. They're yeah. cheap.
Yeah. That's the number. The number one, I'd say, is the big game changer.
Yeah, you sort of just, I think there's like that little nib that comes down into the opening. You just sort of grind that off, right?
Yeah, you just reprofile it. It's pretty painless.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe an extended mag release. I've got the stock one. It didn't really bother me that much, but I think Kevin was showing me his Summit T3 release. That's a nice release.
Yeah, yes. So we both have the same one, so okay. it's really nice.
I have that little bar that comes down.
Yeah, and I like, Mario, yours I like as well. But, so the mag release, excellent for doing a quick change.
Yeah.
And the bolt release, yeah.
I just have the stock extended little plastic one on mine. I do want one of the extended ones like you guys have.
Yeah. So we were able to trick out our 10-22s or our rifles and made it to the point where... So those modifications that we did probably helped us achieve what our goal was. What do you guys think?
Well, it helped me.
Well, the biggest thing about a 10-22 is the factory trigger. They're absolutely horrible. They're like mine was 8-9 pounds.
Wow.
If you don't have a lot of cash, just spending the $35 in the Volks quartz and hammer alone will really improve your shooting, because it's hit and miss. I found my first 10-22, the factory barrel was super accurate. It was a tack driver from the factory, and once I had some trigger work done on it, it was a tack driver. The one I have now, the barrel from the factory was crap. It was horrible. I couldn't get the group more than an inch at 100 yards, so that's why I switched out the barrels on it. But if it's accurate and you've got a good barrel on it, all you got to do is put on the auto bolt release and pop in a hammer, and for less than $50, you can really improve the function of your 10-22. Or buy Marlin.
Okay, so let's move on to events, because we got a couple of things to talk about in that. So, Thomas.
Well, the charity shoot is now open and it's filling up fast, so please register. We may have to cap it at 100 signups because we have to account for walk-ons. So we've got
Are we?
Well, we have to see. We have to see what the capacity of the range is. We're filling up fast. So if you want to go to the charity shoot, sign up, because we have to keep an eye on how many people are actually signing up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about was the Friday shoot. RJ is doing the handgun fundamentals course in both Rick and Mario. You guys are going to that, right?
Yep. Looking
awesome.
Forward to it. Yeah.
So we have 5 spots left in it. So it's filling up quite fast. So one of the things that I did want to talk about was, okay, before we get to that, let's just, so RJ's course is a handgun fundamental, but he's also looking at doing the urban pistol course as well. So it depends on the level of people that are going. And if you got Mario and Rick going, I think you got some pretty high caliber people going. So, yeah.
Rick, yes.
No, I've seen you shoot. You're pretty good. You're awesome with the kids, by the way. So
I think RJ said it depends on the level of the class. If the class is advanced, then he'll continue more. And right now, he says the basic course is maybe 75% basic fundamentals, and then 25% is more
urban pistol.
Urban. But if the class is more advanced, then he may add more urban to it.
Correct. It just depends on what the level is. So the one thing that he did want to mention, a couple of things that he wanted to mention is the $50 is part of it's going towards the range fee. Part of it's going for your lunch because you are getting lunch that day as well. And he's actually now donating, or he's donating his fees for the day as well. So that's going back to Soldier On now. So.
Excellent. Thank you, Rick. We appreciate that.
Yeah. So the other part that he's doing, and this is amazing, if you haven't had a chance to check this out yet, go and do it. There's a YouTube video for it. So Tango Yankee, I keep tripping over my words, is the call alphabet for thank you. And so this is something that that's come out, and Rick is the Canadian supplier for these. These are chips. And what it is basically Daniel Shaw came out with it. It's something that he had been thinking about because somebody had done something so monumental for him, and he thought he wanted to give somebody something just to say thank you and also to pass it on as well. So they came up with these chips, and the proceeds from these chips down in the States are going towards soldiers and soldiers who are suffering through PTSD and that as well, and to help them. So these chips are basically you buy them, you can buy them through RJ, if you go on to his site, go on to fireartsolutions.ca and go to the Tango Yankee Project link there, and you can buy these. They're $5 each, or there's 10 for, I think it's 25. All right, anyways, go on and have a look. But he's bringing these chips to the event as well. Normally, he donates 20% of the sales of the chips to Soldier On, so it stays here in Canada. But during the charity shoot, he's donating 100% of the proceeds from the chips sold that day to Soldier On. So that's amazing.
Yep.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, when you get these chips, so you can give them out to people who have done something for you that you want to just say thank you and tell them how much it meant to you. But the chip itself is meant to be passed on to pay it forward. So somebody else who's done something great for that person, they'll pay, you know what I mean? So it's like pay it forward. So I think it's a really cool idea and that as well. So we have the YouTube video. I put it into the show notes, so we'll post that on the page too. But yeah. So it's really cool.
And a big a big shout out to Rick for donating his time and his energy for helping us out at the charity shoot. We really appreciate it, Rick.
So one of the other things that we need to talk about the charity shoot is the IPSC match. So March 31st is the deadline for pre-registration for the IPSC match. What's going to be happening is we do have a and Rick and Mary are doing that too, aren't you?
Sure. Yep.
So pre-registration is you can register with us, and that way, you know, you'll be on our squad basically, and you can do the IPSC match that's going to be held on the 26th at the Frontenac Range, and it is a level 3 IPSC match, It's $150, and if there's only four spots left on our squad, so sign up, because, yeah. And you got till 2 weeks to do it, so. And not two. So the and finally, the charity shoot on the Saturday is $35. And if you register before May 1st, you'll get a free t-shirt. And right now, everybody should have gotten their personal invites. If you have sent your registration in and your payment in, and you haven't received a personal invite, just email me at newshootercanada@gmail.com, and I will make sure that you get your personal email, your personal invite. You should have gotten them. I pretty much cross-referenced everything, and I think it's everybody should have gotten theirs. So, yeah.
Hey, so, do you know if Rick Wood's going to give out invites as well? I think for our our short-term ATTs, we've got to put all three events on the same request.
Oh. That's true. So I might have to
Sorry, Kelly. Yeah. I know you don't have enough things to do.
Yeah, let me modify those. Okay. So I will modify those and send them out to you. Because you're getting the one from the RSO for the range. So I'll modify it and send it out. Okay.
Cool. Yep.
Yep. Awesome. And that way you can be covered for the Thursday as well. So coming down, and so Thomas, do you want to talk about the sportsman show that's coming up?
Well, it's the 16th. Sportsman show starts on Wednesday and it ends on Saturday, I believe. So
Sunday.
Sunday. Well, you George, Kelly, and I are going to the sportsman show on Saturday, and we're gonna go around, check out all our friends, and so if you're gonna be dressed in a pink, you got Stacy's pink New Shooter Can on the top?
Yeah, I did.
You hate pink.
I do. But I borrowed it. And the reason is because I don't have anything with New Shooter Canada on it. I know. I'm a bad host.
Is this in Ottawa?
No, it's
Mississauga.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's at the International Center. And, so it runs from Wednesday to Sunday. And I believe it's 10 to 6 every day? Or 10... I don't know. Don't count. Don't quote me. Go online.
It's probably 10 to 9 and 10 to 6 on Saturday.
Sunday. The last day is shorter.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's going to be a few people there that we all know and that, and we'll be visiting them. So, fair warning.
I think Brian will be working at the Ontario Rifle Association booth, he said.
Yep.
Or, yeah, he's going to be there. And Mike Dunhoven's going to be at the CSSA booth. And I'm not 100% sure. I think Darlene's going to be at the NFA booth. So we'll have a lot of friends there this weekend.
All right. Hey, Mario,
mm-hmm.
Can you read the show notes? You got them in front of you?
I do. You're talking about the petition?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Well, basically, it's the petition number E111 about the AR-15 reclassification. And that's from petitions at parl.gc.ca. Anyways, I'm sure you'll put up the link on the site. The petition is closing on Saturday, May 7th. And to date, they've got 21,671 signatures so far, one of which is mine.
Mm-hmm.
The petition was started by Mark Bennett from Cornerbrook, Newfoundland, and Labrador. And on the... and submissions is 2016 is being sponsored by MP Bob Zimmer of Prince George, Peace River, Northern Rockies, which is really great, who is going to be submitting it to Parliament. So that could be really interesting. Hopefully that might get some traction. We'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
All those who have signed is fantastic, and thank you. And if you haven't signed, please do so. So we can perhaps get the reclassification of the AR-15, which would be very nice,
right.
Which is probably long overdue.
So it closes on May 7th. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, did I say not say May 7th?
Yeah, it done. Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You did fine.
Yeah,
you did perfect.
Yeah. just dyslexic, but it's fine.
No.
That AR-15 reclassification would be really wonderful if it goes through.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Rick.
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to do we're bringing you guys both in. So we're going to be doing our emails from our listeners. Are you able to talk about the one from Matthew?
Yes. So, hey, I'm a big fan of the page. Is there an Appleseed program in Canada? And yeah, so Matthew, there is a Canadian version called Mapleseed that had its inaugural event last year. And as part of our most recent Appleseed trip, we have a whole Canadian crew that is now orange hatted, I guess. And Kelly, I think in terms of the structure, the orange hats are just below the red hats and below the shoot boss, I guess. Is that how it works? I can't remember the structure.
Right. But we are building. Instructor in training is the orange hats.
Instructor in training. There we go. Yeah. So we are getting set up for a whole crew to kind of take it forward in Canada. And it will have a Canadian patch. And there are a few already floating out there.
Mm-hmm. There's three.
There's three.
That's limited right. editions right now.
There you go. And the planning and training of instructors is about to happen. But I think we're all kind of busy doing the charity shoot.
Yeah. So what it is right now is just in the planning stages. We did have a test one done in Bancroft last year, and that's where we met Mario and Rick. But yeah, so now we have a couple of more instructors in training. So both Mario, Rick, and Kevin are instructors in training. And I believe actually Sluggo is now an instructor in training as well.
That's great.
Yeah. And so I accepted the blue hat, trying to keep everybody organized. I think that they'll probably have to keep me organized, though. And blue hat is more of the administration side of things, but I can still do the RSO and training as well if I decide to do that. But yeah, so hopefully we'll see something up soon. I know that I posted on the forum yesterday about it, and so maybe if we hear anything else, we'll let everybody know about it. So. I know that some people are looking forward to maple seeds in other parts of the country as well. And yeah, so maybe it'll be up and running soon.
I think it's a super program. It's a great way to get the fundamentals down, and it makes it really painless and non-intimidating, which is the best part.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful for, like, as we saw with Mike, he brought his two boys as well, and they did amazing. And that too, and it teaches safety, but you know, as well as marksmanship and history and that too. So do you guys mind if I actually read the next one?
Go ahead.
Okay, so it says, hi folks, to keep this short and to the point, I'm an American moving to Canada to be with my wife and daughter, and have been a PRS shooter for a few years and would really like to stay involved with that or other types of sports shooting here in CA, so California, I think it is.
Canada.
Or sorry.
I knew she was going to do that.
You know what? He's American, and CA does mean California.
It does.
Anyways, but no, CA.
It should be CDN.
Yeah, so Canada.
He's American, so, you know, we expect.
Well, yeah, specifically lower BC area. Yeah, it was my right. It would be much appreciated to gain some information from you on how I might be able to stay involved with fellow shooters in my area. Any information on shooting events, ranges, or the best place to order reloading supplies would be great. Thanks in advance and take care. So this came from actually another Matthew. So I went in and I had a look. Matthew didn't know where we are. Thomas, George, and I are all here in Ontario. But I did go in and had a look. At a couple of things, the BC Rifle, bcrifle.org disciplines. If you go into that website, it'll tell you about precision shooting and that as well. Also, the BC Precision Rifle.com, the homepage there, it'll give you some updates and that too. I sent them all this information. And there's one place, Ridgedale Rod and Gun Club in Abbotsford. I told him that was a good place to start. It's got a precision rifle club, and it has some events listed in there. And it's also close to Chilliwack, which is just down the road from them as well. So you can check out those sites. And then I gave him some reloading stuff, because Mystic Precision and also Budget Shooting Supplies. I sent him the links for those, because they're out in BC. So
exactly.
If he's looking at doing some reloading, then he will not get, you know, the shipping would not be too astronomical if he's already out in BC. And then some other info, I said, just also you can go onto Gun Nuts at the forum there, and they talk about reloading and also events and everything there too. So gave him all that information, and he got back and said thank you very much. He really appreciated it and that. So, and the other thing that I said was welcome to Canada, Matt.
Welcome to Canada.
Welcome to Canada, Matt.
Welcome, A.
Yeah, A and that. So welcome to Canada and BC, which is not California. So
you're gonna go to Canada. BC is the most beautiful place to go.
Anyways, all right, Thomas, you got any iTunes?
No iTunes review this week. Last time I looked before we recorded, Facebook was at 713 likes. So thank you very much. We appreciate them. And you want me to do the closing comments?
Yeah, why don't you do the closing comments?
Well, as you probably all know, George is taking a sabbatical from podcasting, so we are in search of a new co-host, and we want to know if you're interested. We have a very strict merit criteria for the position, so you need to be able to mispronounce words, say a lot, repeat yourself, think every girl is cute, call shenanigans, and scroll all the time. If you think you fit this description, then send us an email at host@newshootercanada.ca and let us know what you can bring to the show. Deadline for submissions, email or audio submissions, is March 31st.
That's only 2 weeks away.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Thank God. I can't wait for this winter to be over.
It was a good winter. It was short. Well, anyways.
It was short.
So anybody who's interested, you know, drop us a line. You know, audio submission would be good too, so that we can hear if you have got one of those, you know, deep radio voices. So, anyways.
Good try.
No? I shouldn't, you know, bring back the stuff from when I was sick and I had that really, really...
Oh, that sultry voice. Yeah, that was good.
No, it wasn't.
That deep husky voice.
Husky voice. All right.
Hi there.
Yeah, so just let us know at host@newshootercanada.ca if you're interested. And, yeah, and we would like to say thank you very, 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 very much to Rick and Mario. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks to you. It's always fun.
So do you guys we always do shout-outs. Any shout-outs this week, Mario or Rick?
Rick? Yeah, for me, it's the Appleseed crew in Michigan and my new friends in Michigan and Ohio. It was great meeting them and really enjoyed it, and they made us feel very welcome and had a few laughs and emptied a few bottles and played a few rounds of some very fun games.
Yes, we did.
Good, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a good card game.
Yeah, thanks to New Shooter Canada for getting us involved with this whole new group of people. It's been awesome.
And we're happy that we're, you know, you're part of our group too.
It was very humbling. It was very humbling when we went to the first Maple Seed and saw how many people actually showed up because of us. It was very humbling that you guys actually took part of it and are on the show now because of three people that just wanted to have a podcast and talk to each other. So thank you guys. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have to also thank you guys particularly for getting me into all of this stuff. It's been really fun where I've met all of you guys and the people in Michigan. It was just a spectacular time. I can't say enough about it. And Stacy, hats off to her for her organization and her generosity in opening her house. We had some great times there, met some fantastic people. And thanks to Rick for always hanging out with me and putting up with me, Mr. Grumpy.
Well, he did have to drive all the way back from Michigan with a Montrealer behind the wheel.
He did. Fortunately, I probably snored part of the way, so that was good.
You weren't driving, were you?
No, not when I was snoring, no.
Yeah. What about you, Thomas? Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, Mario.
No.
A shout out to our listener, Jason. He actually messaged me this afternoon, and he bought a new MP9. And he lives out in the Whitby area, and he asked me if I'd go up to the range and give him some pistol coaching to help him get on his new target, or get on target with his new gun. It's drifting a little bit to the left, and he's only had it out the once, so he asked me to go out and coach him, so I'm going to meet him up next weekend, and we'll go to the range and try to tighten up his groups and get him on target a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Me, I wanted to say a special thank you to Stacy again, Michigirl. Michigan girl who I miss as well. Anyways.
Missing the Michigan girl. And,
missing the Michigan girl.
Apple pie moonshine.
No, actually, I'm missing
oh.
her.
Oh, that was wicked.
Oh, that.
I gotta say, that was wicked.
I have got to get a recipe for that.
Okay. Remind me, I'll send it to you. So, but the other thing is, I just wanted to say to all my friends, and there's a lot of them, but thanks for all your support this past year, because quite honestly, it's really only been within the last year that I've not really been within the last year. It has been within the last year that I've started shooting. And with everybody's advice and help, I was able to reach one of my goals this year. And that's why I appreciate it. So
we're very proud of you.
Thank you. And a special shout out to Kevin. I love you, baby.
Oh, good stuff.
And that, so. And he was very happy I got my patch as well, because
he didn't want to have to live with it for another year.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a long drive home.
On that note, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at host@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.